You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello, welcome to the Everything is Black and White podcast. This is episode 6 of Get in the Bin with me, Andrew Musgrave, and
I, Sam Mulliner.
Every week, Sam gets much more happy about it, and it's probably because he is in
my
the
lead increases.
4-1. Yes, I handed him the result last week, which was PSR versus the cost of replica kits, and Sam's passion won it for me. In the end, although I still maintain replica kits are far too expensive. But anyway, we're on to episode 6. Now, Sam, you well? I mean, you're looking chipper.
In good form. All good. How are you?
Well, I'm good. And at the time this episode goes out, I'll be very stressed, I would imagine, because we're recording this 2 weeks in advance because I'm moving house this exact day. This exact day I will be moving house.
Where are you moving to? Give me the deets.
I'm not going to put the address out because I'll get...
No, I don't need the postcode. Just the general area.
Well, everyone, I'm just moving.
What's going to happen?
I'm staying within Northumberland. I'm just moving to the next village along because we need more room because we've had our little one. So it's all exciting.
But so are you going from two-bed semi to three-bed detached? What's going on?
Yes, a nice little three-bed now. Same kind of design, same kind of cottagey feel, which we want. We like the kind of old-fashioned kind of design in the houses. So that's what we've got, little one.
Oak beams?
Yep, it's got beams in the living room.
Oh, wood burner?
Wood burner.
Oh!
Big, massive garden as well, which I can't wait for. So, so as this episode goes out, we'll be on our way, and I'll be incredibly stressed, I should imagine.
Have you got a good log supplier?
Well, I've still got loads of logs in my actual outhouse from the current house we're in, so that's going to... Because I don't know if I told you this story, actually. My dad decided that the wedding present from him and my mum would be a tipper truck full of logs. So he turned up...
Oh, my God, I would love that.
Well, he turned up a couple of days before... we were due to get married, and this big tipper truck was outside the house and just tipped hundreds upon hundreds of logs onto the driveway. You've then got to pick them up and, you know,
yeah,
store them.
That's fine.
It was a unique present, and we've got through quite a lot of it.
Can your dad adopt me?
I'll ask him. He's a big fan, Sam. He's a big fan. Maybe he's the person that keeps leaving lovely reviews on our podcast audio channel about you.
I mean, I'd rather him leave a lot of oak logs or, you know, some... just give me the logs.
Grand. Well, you know, I'll make the request. But yes, so hopefully everything is going well in the real time. But let's get back to the episode in hand.
Oh, yeah, football.
Football. Are you enjoying this? I'm enjoying this series so far. It's good to talk about things kind of outside of Newcastle and to get a few gripes off our chest. Are you enjoying it so far?
Yeah, I'm very good at moaning, I'm told. So, I think I've been typecast into this. And I also love as well as moaning, I love winning, which I'm doing a lot of lately. So it's good.
But I don't know if I'm just being overly lenient with letting you win. You know, I'm giving you a false sense of security. I got a feeling this week, again, I've been confident the last couple of weeks. I'm, again, very passionate about this one. And as, like last week, the replica shirt, and I predicted that you'd been impacted by it because you were buying your little ones shirts and what have you. Again, I think you've probably had a few angry moments with this topic, but I'm going to let you go first this week, Sam, and then we'll get onto my item. So your item that you've brought to the table that should get in the bin is?
Yes, the sneering and disparagement of women's football. It gets on my wick. I'll go into it a bit more because I don't want to completely shoot my argument all in one go. I'll make it digestible for you. But this is a game that's completely different to men's football, in my opinion. It's not the same. You are not going to get the same thing out of it as you are watching a Premier League game. But it's a game that's very much on the up. It's improving all the time, and there's a kind of purity to it, and it feels like you're on a journey, especially with the Newcastle United women's team, which I've been following for years now, ever since I've been on Newcastle Fans TV, which I'm into my fourth year with now, which is scary. Or might even be five. 2019, five. Wow. So with close attention of the recent history of Newcastle United women and being on that, I feel like I'm on that journey with them, from sort of being completely disregarded by Mike Ashley, which a lot of Newcastle fans will feel anyway, to the takeover, to like no longer was mid-table in the bottom division kind of a given anymore. They're now on the verge of back-to-back promotions. It's just an incredible journey. Evolution of the squad, evolution of the evolution of the game as a wider kind of thing. We're seeing Lionesses get fantastic TV coverage, inspiring a generation, winning the Euros and coming so close in the World Cup. It's a fantastic game that still gets sneered at by some kind of a select quarter of football fans, I suppose. But I think it's ignorant.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Past five episodes, you've kind of had me on the edge of my seat, worrying about what you're going to say. How are you going to slag somebody off? Am I going to have to cut something out? And I thought, as you were getting to the end point there about the people who wrongly sneer at women's football, I thought he's going to go in hard here. And you were actually quite polite. You should just call them what they are, misogynistic.
Well, I was learning that, I'm assuming, have we had a no win, no fee writ from Michael Owen yet or anyone like that?
We've not. I'm waiting for it. So, you know, we have to be careful. Masters. But I don't think we'll get in bother for calling out those who, sneer at women's football. And I also guess, Sam, it's not just the kind of comments and the way that people turn their noses up at women's football, but it's also, you know, the pay that women get to play football, or the prize money as well. That in itself is a different kind of sneering, I guess, at the game. It's getting better, but it's nowhere near what it should be.
I mean, it was only a few years ago the Newcastle United women's team would have to pay subs to play. Newcastle United women will have to pay their subs to play. Now they're actually getting paid to play and gone professional, which is the way it should be. It's remarkable how far they've come in such a short period of time. But misogynistic, ignorant, thick people with a temper. I find are the bane of many a world issue. But yeah, it's a game that's constantly evolving. You hear garbage spouted by a former Newcastle United midfielder who I don't even want to name. Charlotte Potts, Newcastle United defender, just completely put him down, put him back in his place on Twitter the other week. I urge you to go and have a look at Potts' tweet because it was balanced. She admits she agrees with some of his points, but that it was a very impressive takedown. And Potts is a very inspirational character anyway, and a fantastic defender, might I add. Unreal centre-back that will be with Newcastle and like when they're in WSL in a few years. Yeah, it's one of them. It is a different game. They can learn from each other. You are going to get different skill sets. Yes, there is still, I will fully admit, there are still elements of the women's game that needs to maybe catch up a bit with the men's game. Goalkeeping is a big issue, but it's evolving. It's getting better. It's improving. There's a purity to it. Like before, all the millions and billions came into men's football, there was a purity to it, kind of working class family element to it, which there still is now in the women's game. My lad loves going to the women's games, absolutely adores going to the women's game. There's an accessibility you feel towards the players, whereas the men are a lot more protected. They won't really, I mean, it's a miracle if you get a player to stop at the training ground or after a game for you. Whereas the women's players have all the time in the world for the supporters. And it's something that's building, and it's something that I really admire, and I just don't have any time for the people that are just ignorant towards it.
I fully agree, and it's going to be hard to argue that my item deserves to get in the bin ahead of your item, because actually I could have quite easily have picked the item that you've got, you know, on the table and brought it to the table myself, because I've done a bit of work with a couple of Newcastle United players in recent months, and they're down to earth, they're lovely people, and they're very passionate. But above all else, they're very talented at what they do as well, and deserve praise for that. And I think when I see people having a go at women playing football, or women, you know, having the audacity to be a pundit on the men's game, because you can also throw that into what we're discussing as well, I just sit there and think, I've got a little girl. Okay, she's only 8 months old. But I want her to do whatever she wants. And if it's to be a professional footballer, go for it. I want her to do whatever. I'm not going to stand in her way. I'm not going to be one of those ignorant so-and-sos that you know, talk down an industry just because it might not be as good quality as the men's game. I mean, it won't be. I think a lot of the, I think there's been an admittance of that. But in time, it'll get to a really high quality. And, you know, there are some fantastic players out there. And we should just be embracing the development of the game, and we should be supporting it. And it is great to see the games at Kingston Park with plenty of support in the terraces, and when they come here to St James's Park as well, you know, 25,000-30,000 spectators. It's absolutely marvelous. And I was speaking to one of the players from Newcastle United's women's side, Anna Soulsby, not too long ago. It was before that game against Portsmouth in the League Cup semi-final, the one which they won. And I asked her, you know, if someone had said to you 3 or 4 years ago, and she's been at the club since I think she was 16, 17, I think she's 2021 now. If someone had said to you, you'd be playing in front of 25, 30,000 people at St James's Park, what would you have said to them? And she pretty much said, shut up, was her answer. That's what she would have said to someone, shut up, because that's been the growth. And she's been on that journey since Man of Stavely's come in, and Man of Stavely's backed up her promise of supporting the women's side with not just finance, but actually, you know, a presence as well. And for me, that stuck with me, because it probably, it's nice for us to see the development, but imagine if you've been there all that time and you've gone on that journey and you've been a Newcastle United supporter as well. It must be something else. And it's great to see that the fans and the city get behind it as well, and long may it continue. So yeah, it's going to be difficult for me to argue against you here.
With Anna as well, not long before the takeover, she did her ACL. And Lee from our channel, Newcastle Fans TV, was there that night, got it on camera as well. It was an ACL, so of course it was a bad one. But, you know, this is a lass who's come back from that and is, you know, come back stronger and is still in and around the squad playing at a higher level than she was doing before the injury as well. So, you know, brilliant. And she was always in and around the squad, even whether she was on crutches or in that big protective boot or whatever. There's so many fantastic inspirational characters in that squad that just don't, although the attention on them, as I say, that they've been getting is brilliant since the takeover. But like we were obviously there, I say we, NFTV, were obviously there like kind of before it was cool when they were, you know, not supported. When I say they were paying their subs, they were mid-table in the bottom tier, and you know the only thing keeping that team going was the Newcastle United Foundation, and you know it's Steve Beharrell and the amazing team he's got there, and to see where they are now and where they're going, they are going places, believe me. It's brilliant to see. And you know they've got a fantastic manager in Becky Langley. They've got a fantastic squad that's evolving all the time, and it's just great. It's fantastic family atmosphere. They get fantastic travelling support. There's been some games in the Midlands this season, you know, and the travelling Newcastle support outnumber all the home teams' support. Whether it was Stoke, Burnley, Wolves, where else have I been this season? I don't know. I can't remember. There's loads. West Brom, you know, so many, and Luton for the cup final as well. Fantastic support there. I just urge as many people as possible to get on the journey. You know, it might not be for everyone, and that's fine. And you made the point before about the criticism women pundits get. Yeah, I will fully admit there are some horrific women pundits in football. But guess what? There's some horrific male pundits too. The gender is irrelevant when it comes to punditry. There's some absolutely fantastic female pundits, as there are male pundits as well. That's not a gender issue. So it winds me up as well when, you know, like people say, oh, she shouldn't be on the men's game. Well, that's ridiculous. It's just not a gender issue when it comes to punditry.
No, I agree. And I mean, I just want to say as well, you know, you guys at Newcastle Fans TV deserve huge praise as well for all the coverage that you've given the women's side and continue to do so and will do in the future. And their development, the attention they're starting to get, is brilliant, and it's a little bit of a bigger picture as well, because like you mentioned, the Lionesses, that's really blown up in the last few years, and you know the Premier League version of the women's game, that's blown up as well, and it's great to see, and it's great to see the numbers watching in person and on the TV and what have you, and long may it continue. And hopefully,
terrestrial coverage for you though, isn't it? It makes a massive difference. It's not behind a paywall on Sky. Lionesses are coming to St James's Park as well, aren't they? Just as the men's England team are. So, you know, the tickets will be a hell of a lot cheaper for the Lionesses than it was for the men's. So, yeah, I urge people to just to go and watch the game, because they'll be entertained if not. Yeah. You know,
they certainly will. And then what you've got to hope is that, you know, the investment and the sponsorship follows and continues to get bigger, and then we can see the kind of the grassroots side of things develop as well. Like I said, it's going to be hard for me to argue against you, Sam, because I fully back your point here. It really annoys me when I hear people sneering at the women's game. It's just not justified. We should be supporting, you know, the game. We should be supporting its development. My point is, and again, I mean, I kind of don't even want to do it because I've already agreed with you, but I'll do it anyway.
Well, I agreed with you last week, so, you know.
Okay, my
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
My item to the table is that you can't be a football fan of a club unless you were born on the banks of the river that runs through that city or town. Now, I suspect as a Midlands-based Newcastle United fan, you will have probably been angered at this point. I am someone who gets really wound up when I see fans having a go at other fans just because they're not born in the same city as the club. And I mean, we'll make it Newcastle specific. It is rife on social media. You know, you can't be a proper Newcastle United fan unless you were born in Newcastle. Well, okay, I was born in Hexham. So do I fall out of the catchment area for those people who make that point? You know, how big are we making the sphere? It really winds us up because for me, you are a Newcastle United fan, whether you were born in Newcastle, Hexham, or on the other side of the world. And it really annoys me because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter where you're from, it doesn't matter where you were born. If you support this club, you support this club. You want to see them do well. And okay, some might argue, well, a lot of fans have come on board since the takeover. I get that. That's a different point. But there's a lot of fans who've supported this club through thick and thin from the other side of the world. You know, I've met a few of them and they get a ton of grief, especially now the takeover's happened, because they get accused of jumping on the bandwagon, which isn't the case. And it really winds me up. It was I met someone from the Singapore Newcastle United supporters group when they came last season, and they came for the Leicester and Brighton games. And I interviewed them. I put a picture out on social media. And some of the stick they got was unbelievable. How have they got tickets? Oh, were they here before the takeover? And yeah, they were. Now, this group's been supporting Newcastle United for longer than I've been alive. That's how long it's been going. Jimmy Rubin got involved and, said they're very welcome and all that. And that's the way it should be. The club should be open and accessible to anyone, you know, not just because you were born in Newcastle. It really winds us up. Have you been impacted by this? Does it anger you?
Have I been impacted from it? I think that the strongest kind of area that this happens is just on Twitter, isn't it? There's just a small section of, again, thick people with a temper.
I've seen stories and claims of it happening, starting to creep into the stands now. Even in away games as well, people hearing people with not having Geordie accents and being like, well, where are you from? Why are you here? How have you got a ticket kind of thing?
I've never experienced that. I've experienced quite the opposite, actually. When I first started coming to Newcastle, I mean, look, my own personal journey to Newcastle very, very, very quickly. None of my family were into football. Newcastle United were the first team that I thought that I saw that really captured my imagination, and that was when I was 4 or 5, something like that. 5, maybe, the Kevin Keegan Entertainers team, of course it was. So at that time, I didn't know they were 200 miles away from where I lived. That kind of stuff just wasn't a factor to me. Or I mean, I was born in Shrewsbury. And the first football match I ever went to was Shrewsbury Town against Mansfield. But at the time, all I cared about was getting to half time. Even though it was a great game, Shrewsbury won 3-2. All I cared about was at halftime and full time when they'd read out the Premier League scores at the ground. That was all I was bothered about. So when I first started coming to St James's Park, because again, I'm quite from a poor family background. It was just me and my mum in a council flat growing up. My mum didn't drive or whatever, so I didn't ever come up to Newcastle because we just couldn't afford to. I never come up until I could afford to under my own steam. So I was 17 when I got my own car and whatnot. So when I first started coming up, I experienced the opposite, people in the stands that I'd chat to that I was sitting next to. I always remember one kind of older guy said to me, well, you're here, you're wearing the black and white, you're a Geordie, you're one of us. That's my experience of it. I've never had anything the opposite. With how I am now, I would brush it off anyway. If I'd have had that when I was younger, I might not have taken to it as kindly because I've mellowed a hell of a lot. I just think it's kind of their problem. But I am glad you made the distinction of kind of post-takeover supporters jumping on the bandwagon to that are here. I agree with that, and I'm pleased you made that distinction.
But with that, I do think it has gotten worse since the takeover, where there's more fans who, for whatever reason, believe they are the better fan. You know, I'm a better fan than you, or what have you. I was here through the dark days. You know, and I just don't get why people have to try and prove how good of a fan they are, and it's just baffling. You know, for those who decided to stick through the dark days of Mike Ashley, fair play to you. For those who decided to give up their season tickets and protest, fair play. You know, the bottom line is you just want Newcastle United to be successful. You want to see them lift the cup. You want to see them win the league. You want to be entertained by them. That's what matters. Not if you were here during Mike Ashley. Not if you were born in Newcastle or in London. Like that gentleman said to you, Sam, on one of your first trips, if you're here supporting the club through the thick and thin, through the dark days and the good days, then you're just as important as a fan as the person who was born in Newcastle.
Yeah. I think that day was the 5-1 Sunderland game as well, because I seem to remember being on a pile on with said gentleman after the penalty just before half-time to make it 3-0. I've only ever had positive experiences of coming up to games. I don't get involved in Twitter spats because.
But you've seen it on social media, haven't you?
I've seen it. I just think get a life. You know, I mean, most of these people doing this are, you know, sat in the mum's spare room in their Transformers pajamas, you know, with posters of Lauren Charvet on the wall. It's just, you know, I just get over it.
I just think the clue is in the name, isn't it? It's Newcastle United. And that's exactly how it should be. And it doesn't matter where you were born, doesn't matter where you live, doesn't matter how many games you've been to. As long as you've supported the club and you want the best for them, that's what matters. In my
everyone has their own individual circumstances. Or some people can't get to games. Some people can get to every game. That's fine. I've had spells of a couple of years where I couldn't afford to come to games because saving for weddings, saving for house deposits, saving for having children. Because kids aren't cheap.
I'm learning that, but it's a point, isn't it? Because we're moving slightly away from the point about being born in Newcastle. But I've seen arguments about, you know, where were you under Mike Ashley? You know, I was there. It's like, yeah, but for me, during that time, I couldn't afford a season ticket. Now I could afford a season ticket, and if I could get one, I would get one. But then you would have people jumping on the back of that. Are you only getting season tickets into takeover? Well, no. If I could afford one during Mike Ashley, despite how horrible and dark and gloomy it was, I would have gotten one. I was at most games anyway through general sale. You know, I was there during that first championship season and I missed one game because of work. Didn't have a season ticket. But it doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter. I still supported the club. Just because I didn't have a season ticket doesn't mean I'm any less of a fan than the person who did.
As well, during that time as well, you could get away tickets through general sale sometimes and they would pretty much always go to memberships, but you'd never get a loyalty point for it. So I'd always kept my membership, even whether it was a year where I'd go to a game or not, but went to plenty of away games like you say the dark days, never got one loyalty point for them because they didn't do it for members and general sales, you know, part of a wider problem at the time, but c'est la vie. But yeah, the whole one-upmanship and you just needs to get a life. It's pretty sad.
Do you know what? It sounds like we're both agreeing that both items are pretty horrendous. At this stage, I would usually ask you, Sam, to persuade me that your item deserves to get in the bin, but I kind of agree that it does. And I don't think I need to persuade you either. Could this be the first week that we both agree that each item should just get in the bin and we just make the exception?
Well, I don't think you could disagree with me anyway, because if you even tried, then I'd just call you a massive sexist. And then
that is true.
Then you'd back down. I could make an argument for yours, but I do like the premise. As I say, just from personal experience, I've never had it.
I think going on to both points, kind of the undercurrent of it all, is that we just want a club and a game, bigger picture, you know, the beautiful game, just to be a nice and happy place and accessible for everybody, whether you're born here, there, or everywhere, whether you're a woman or a man, it doesn't really matter. Just be kind, be nice, be supportive, and, you know, just essentially, don't be a knobhead.
Most of these people that will have a go on Twitter have like be kind or whatever in their Twitter bio, which I always find so funny. Yeah, be kind. Oh, what can't you stand? Oh, ignorant people. Okay. There is that, but you make a right distinction there of people hopping on the bandwagon again. Like I mentioned last week about going to Chelsea, and I'm going to mention it again this week. That is a kind of lesson on how not to become as a football club that, you know, gets bigger with success and with takeovers and whatnot, because the atmosphere at Stamford Bridge is shocking. It's full of tourists, literally. It's all very odd. It's very, very odd. And then when they win a game, they have to really crank up the PA system and the music to make it seem like they've got an atmosphere when they just haven't. I've been to Stamford Bridge a couple of times and it's been the same every time. Very, very peculiar place to go and watch football, and I don't think it had. I would hate nothing more than to see St James's Park, or, you know, become even half of that bad.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what does come down the line. But we're not going to open it up to a vote. I think we just both agree that this week we'll make the exception. I think they're both really important points, that they're both real horrible elements of the game. You know, the sneering of the women's game and this kind of I'm a better fan than you sort of argument. I think they both just get in the bin.
Yes, live action scenes here as I answer the door. 2 seconds, I have a delivery.
Oh, hello.
Thank you. What's the wife been ordering? I agree. Let's get them both in the bin.
There we go. So for 1 week only, we'll agree that both the items...
That's what you have to resort to now to get points on the board.
No, I just think they're both excellent points, and I think our listeners and viewers will both agree that the football would be a better place without the sneering of the women's game and without the sniping of fans. So I'm all for putting these in the bin, making the exception this week. So yeah, episode 6 of Get in the Bin by the Everything in the Black and White podcast has seen the sneering of the women's game get in the bin, alongside declaring that you can't support a football club unless you were born on the banks of the Tyne or this river that runs through the said town or city. Both horrible elements of the beautiful game. We're getting them in the bin. This has been Get in the Bin. Hope you've enjoyed the episode. And for me and Sam, we'll catch you next week.